Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network Command Team.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, a program that engages, educates, encourages, and empowers military spouses and families around the world. This is episode number 772, and I'm your host, Sarah Peachy, Army Wife Network content editor, coming to you from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
And I'm Jennifer, Army Wife Network content curator assistant, joining Sarah today. Your Army Wife Network Command Team wants to remind you that you don't have to go through this military life journey alone. Army Wife Talk Radio is here to bring you the resources you need to thrive in your mill spouse life. On today's show, we'll listen in to an interview conducted by Sherita Knobloch, Army Wife Network owner and commander, as she chats with guest Dr. David Tharp of Project Healing Heroes, an organization that seeks to empower combat veterans, service members, first responders, and their families to resolve trauma through awareness, resilience, and support. You can connect with Project Healing Heroes on their website at www.projecthealingheroes.com, on Facebook and Instagram at Project Healing Heroes, and on Twitter at PHH_resilience.
Jennifer, I'm super excited to be hosting with you on your very first episode of Army Wife Talk Radio. I'd like to welcome you to our command team. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Sarah. I've been a mill spouse for a little over 4 years, married to my amazing husband. We're currently living in Fort Benning, Georgia, with our three wonderful children. I have my bachelor's degree in elementary education, but I'm currently not teaching. My experience in education, though, has definitely come in handy raising three children and now enduring that journey of virtual learning. In my spare time, I enjoy woodworking, painting, crafting, volunteering locally, and spending time outside doing just about anything. I have to say, though, I am so very grateful to be a part of the Army Wife Command Team because I truly stand behind our mission to empower military spouses and their families. This is something I wish I had been given guidance on when I was a new mill spouse. So encouraging and empowering others really hits home for me. With that said, I am over the moon to be a part of my very first episode today.
I'd love to know a little bit more about some of your volunteer experiences because our listeners probably know that a lot of us, or all of us at Army Wife Network, are all volunteers. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about some of your volunteer experiences that you've done. Do you do it as a family? Is it just you?
We try to do it as a family for sure. Sometimes children aren't necessarily encouraged at some of the events that we attend. Our volunteer experiences are generally within the military community, as well as we try to really engage ourselves with the community right outside of post also. Like I said, we are at Fort Benning, so we extend our volunteer services, you know, all the way out through neighboring towns. We do a lot of work with Habitat for Humanity. We do try to locate them wherever we go. We do a lot of work through a lot of pet humane societies, adoption agencies, things like that. And we're actually currently fostering two puppies now. And I will tell you, they are a handful, and I enjoy the work, but I might have to take a break after this foster experience.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, though, to be doing all of these things just out of the goodness of your heart and just such a huge variety.
Oh, yes, we definitely have a wide variety of interests, which really lends itself to volunteer work. There's so many opportunities available out there.
Definitely. I wanted to say, when you were talking about some of your hobbies, you said that you and your husband are into woodworking. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We have a little hobby type business, and we do woodworking stuff from building furniture all the way down to building serving trays. So my husband is the builder, and I do most of the painting, staining, and we really work well as a team, and it's something that has kept us really engaged with one another and really has kept our relationship alive, for lack of better words.
That's very cool though, just to work together and to build something like that together. What's one of your favorite things that you've made?
I always like to think back to the very first thing we made. We were in need of a new bed. We looked at some prices online for what we were looking for, and boy, we were thrown way back. Furniture can get very expensive. So we actually built our bed. That was our very first project together. We've moved it several times, PCS with it. It has some nicks and dings as expected, but we always look back on that piece and really reflect on where we started and, you know, truly what we're capable of as a team.
How amazing is that too, that it was something that you built after you got married. It's moved everywhere with you. It has the scars that come with each of those moves. So it's just really like a story of your journey together.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. I really hadn't thought of it that way, but you are absolutely right.
Oh, I love that though. Oh, that's so cute.
Thank you.
Well, it's been great getting to know you, Jennifer, and it's so helpful to bring a voice to the work that you're busy doing for Army Wife Network behind the scenes. Bringing people from behind the scenes into the public is an important part of what we do here at Army Wife Network, not just for ourselves, but for the organizations that are helping military families every day. So I'm excited to hear Sharita's interview with Dr. Tharp about Project Healing Heroes and how it's helping those with post-traumatic stress.
But before we get started with the interview, it is time for one of our favorite moments in our show, our Empowerment Minute. After that, let's hear all about this week's top stories and need-to-know news from our incredible News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt.
Today's Empowerment Moment focuses on never going against the family. So we are kind of going through a lot of turbulent times right now, and we are currently being asked by leaders and organizations and governments and families around the world about how to maintain that service-oriented leadership even when things are a little bit crazy. One of the top tools that we recommend to people is to go and actually not only develop relationships with our teams, but also develop those strong relationships with the people that influence team members. So this is a well-known leadership tool that we actually use to empower those around us to speak up and trust that the system is going to hold them. So if our team members, for example, are our coworkers at home, our kids, what we want to do is we want to develop relationships with their friends and their peers around them that have influence with them. This also goes for any team members that we might have that are outside of the home. So coworkers, who is it that influences them and helps to impact their lives and grow what they want to do in their lives? If we can form strong relationships with them, then we can form those bonds of trust and acceptance and forgiveness that are so, so mandatory during turbulent times. So for today, maybe all of us can think about how we're forming strong relationships with the whole family of that person and not just with that one person. For today's Empowerment Moment, I'm Carmen Westbrook. Have a wonderful, beautiful day, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
No news is typically good news in this military life.
Except on Army Wife Talk Radio.
So here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Sarah and Jennifer. Here's this week's top stories. Military children ages 3 through 18 are eligible to receive a grant to attend camp, sports activities, fine arts programs, or tutoring from Our Military Kids. The children must have a parent who is activated stateside in support of COVID-19 or Southwest Border Mission and served at least 120 aggregated days on orders as part of the National Guard or Reserves. A second grant is available to children who have a parent currently deployed overseas for at least 120 days or whose parent qualifies as a severely injured veteran undergoing treatment. Our Military Kids is a nonprofit that provides financial grants to military children. Visit ourmilitarykids.org to view the full requirements and apply. the U.S. Army Golden Knights made a tandem skydive with Vincent Speranza, a 95-year-old World War II veteran and paratrooper. You can see photos from the jump on Facebook at Army Golden Knights. The 2020 Military Family Lifestyle Survey from Blue Star Families is open until October 16th. To take the survey, go to bluestarfam.org/survey. United Through Reading has invited you to join the Fall Into Your Reading Routine Challenge. Help your children continue to develop reading habits and enter to win prizes. Record your book using the United Through Reading app, and each participant will receive prizes for levels achieved. Those who have over 25 recordings will be entered to win additional prizes. Sign up at unitedthroughreading.org. The Department of Defense wants you to know that you can vote from anywhere. Whether you are a service member, a military spouse, or a U.S. citizen overseas, there are ways that you can vote. Deadlines to vote from anywhere are approaching quickly. Visit defense.gov to learn more. And this week in history, on October 15th, 1860, 11-year-old Grace Bedell wrote a letter to presidential hopeful Abraham Lincoln, encouraging him to grow a beard. In her letter, she wrote, "All the ladies like whiskers, and they would tease their husbands to vote for you, and then you would be president." Lincoln responded to her letter with his own letter, and then later made a stop to meet Grace in her hometown in Westfield, New York, on the way to his inauguration in February of 1861. Bedell recalled, "He climbed down and sat with me on the edge of the station platform. Gracie," he said, "look at my whiskers. I have been growing them for you." Then he kissed me. I never saw him again. Read the full story at onthisday.com. Find the link to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Thank you to Jolene for her due diligence to ensure we are always kept up to date with the military life news. Listeners, you might not know this, but Jolene scours the web every week to try to find the best top stories that deal with military life, things that we can benefit from, or things that are just simply heartwarming and bring a little smile to our faces. So listeners, let's take a quick commercial break, then stay tuned for our interview with Dr. David Tharp of Project Healing Heroes.
Army Wife Talk Radio is celebrating our 15th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 700 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcatcher of your choice, such as iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another exciting episode of Army Wife Talk Radio's interview segment. As per usual, I'm Sherita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. Our guest today is a clinical psychologist who is both a combat veteran and a former first responder, David F. Tharp. Dr. Tharp is a Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Air Force Reserve and served as NATO Medical Advisor in Kandahar, Afghanistan. Dr. Tharp received the 2012 Air Force Association VA Employee of the Year Award, the 2014 Disabled American Veterans VA National Commander's Award, and the 2014 Congressional Texas District 17 Award. He previously served as the program manager for the third largest PTSD program in the Department of Veterans Affairs. He's currently the CEO and founder of Project Healing Heroes and has authored multiple books about resiliency and empowering trauma resolution. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tharp. Super excited to chat with you today.
The pleasure is all mine, and I'm so excited about being here.
I'm really looking forward to learning more about your experiences as a veteran, now clinical psychologist, author, and of course, the founder of Project Healing Heroes, which is really going to be the focus kind of our conversation today. So to get us started, tell us about what is Project Healing Heroes.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Project Healing Heroes came about because out of necessity, to be honest with you. After I was in Afghanistan, I literally ran 28 countries' medical assets, and it was my job to identify anybody who got killed or severely injured, whether that be from the United States, any of our services, or from other countries. And so I thought I was actually prepared for this, to be honest with you. I intentionally chose to deploy as a reservist. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go as a psychologist to know what it's like for people to deploy so that I could better treat them. Because mm-hmm. I was sitting there going, how can I sit here with all integrity talking to people who've been to hell and back and not even be there myself? And so I'm like, okay. So I went back to my wife and I said, sweetheart, I know we've got two kids that are ages 3 and 4. But I want to deploy to a Kandahar, Afghanistan. And she's like, what? So you can imagine how that conversation went. So all through all of that, real quickly, because I saw so many things that had happened to people, because I was, as the medical advisor, you have to have intel on anybody who gets injured and what our assets are and who we've lost and all of that kind of stuff. And so just real quickly, my background, not only do I have a doctorate in clinical psychology, I have 3 master's degrees, and I'm a chaplain. I worked in the Federal Bureau of Prisons for 8 years. I worked hospice for 8 years. I trained at FLETC, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, which is where a lot of serious people train. And I even, got to the top 2%, which is honor grad. And so I thought, man, I am ready to go, right? So if anybody can do this psychologically, I'm set. Yeah, guess what? Not reality. Not reality at all. And I think that's part of what happens is that we convince ourselves that we are invincible, especially psychologically, right? And so we compartmentalize like crazy in theater. Well, when I came back from Afghanistan, my wife was like, hey, we need to talk. And I'm like, sure, what's up? And she's like, you've changed. And I'm like, what? And she's like, David, you've changed. Like, you're not the same person. And I'm like, yes, I am. So we have that argument. Long story short, she's like, did you know you even pushed me out of the bed last night? And you punched the headboard. I'm like, I was wondering why my hand hurt so bad. And I'm like, all of this, I was oblivious to it, had no insight at all. And so what happened was that I wanted to get help. I decided it was time to go get help. I tried. I went to where I was supposed to go to get help, to the VA. That didn't work out so well. Long story short, after 2 sessions, they dismissed me. And I said, oh, good. So I went back to my wife and said, I'm cured. And that wasn't quite accurate. So what ended up happening was we were on vacation, and Catherine, who my wife, by the way, is brilliant. She is a psychiatrist now, and she scored in the top 1% of all psychiatrists in the country. So literally, this woman is brilliant. So we finally decided it was time to take a break, go on vacation. We did. And what happened? I said, how am I going to solve this? The place I'm supposed to go to get treatment isn't helping. Like, it didn't work. And I know the research about what works and what doesn't. And she said, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm like, great. Okay, fine. here it is. I've got one of the best. And what's the answer? David, it's inside you. And I'm like, that's the best you have? And she's like, no, I'm being serious. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. She goes, look, all of your education, all of your training, all of your experience, everything you've been through, you need to be able to write about what this is like. And so in the process of all of that, we created Project Healing Heroes because we felt like there needed to be an alternative to a lot of things that were out there. And so the writings, the books, everything we've done came about from personal experience of going to hell and back. And so what I decided to do was to integrate psychology and theology, faith, family, fellowship, all that stuff, and basically put it all together and look at it from a psychological perspective, but also a spiritual perspective, and ask the questions, how is it that I keep acting this way? What is it that I keep doing this? And so that's where the first book came about, is literally writing what it was that I thought would help me if I were coming back from war, what would actually have made a difference. And that's how that book came about. And so we ended up going, we have to figure out a way to get this to people. Therefore, we created a nonprofit, Project Healing Heroes. And I wanted that name because I think we're so focused on, no disrespect, but wounded warriors. I wanted a different narrative. I want to talk about healing heroes, which to me is dramatically different. Mm. And so I did apply for the trademark and failed miserably. By the way, don't try that on your own. It won't work. And so I employed Baylor Law School, which did it for free for us and actually got it overturned. And that's how Project Healing Heroes came about.
Wow. That's so cool that it's born out of your own personal experience, like how that has come together with not only your education and your experience, but also like your challenges, you know, overcoming that and seeing that gap and wanting to fill that gap with something that hasn't previously existed. And my goodness, this is something, I love it when I start these conversations because I'm always excited to talk with our guests. But then usually within the first question, I'm like, these are my people. I'm reminded every time. our listeners will know that, you know, I'm working on my doctorate right now and my dissertation is going to be talking about mental health, resilience, spirituality within the mill spouse sector. You know, because that's what I'm really passionate about. And I've been there, done that, and want to explore that a little more. So I love that you've pressed into that and didn't just stop with, okay, now I'm better or healed or, you know, in a better place, but also really being like, now how can I take my experiences and really pay that forward through Project Healing Heroes?
Yes, ma'am. That's the intent. That's what we're aiming at.
So thinking about that need, mm-hmm. what other motivation was there for you guys to start Project Healing Heroes?
You know what? I'm just a very real person. So if you hear some tearfulness on my end, just bear with me. The fact is that when you go and you serve and you see firsthand the price of war, not just for the family member, or not just for the service member, but the family member.
Look, yes.
I am fully convinced, and people can disagree with me, I believe it's the family that pays even a higher price, to be honest with you, than I did. They had to keep going. I mean, they had to keep doing everything that my wife had to do on top of me being gone. And I was very focused. I can compartmentalize with the best of them. But by the way, that doesn't always serve well after you come out of war. And so what happened was Catherine and I were in Vegas, of all places, which is where we are now because she's active duty Air Force. So I'm the spouse, which is kind of fun. I actually love it. And we were walking around and we were kidding. And she goes, you know, what happens in Vegas, you know, stays in Vegas. And we kind of laughed. I said, yeah, well, what happens in war doesn't stay in war. Mm. And we were like, oh my gosh, that's the next book. That's what we want to write on. And so we literally wrote a book about the fact that you think you're keeping everything at bay, but in reality, it's not. You have such a high ops tempo. You do not have time. Even as a psychologist, you know, who is at, you know, trained pretty darn well, it doesn't work like that. And so then you come back and all of a sudden reality hits. I'll just tell you real quickly, it didn't take long for reality to hit. For me, because not only did I get injured in Afghanistan and I lost most of everything from C2, C3 down, it was really difficult for me coming back because all I wanted to do was play football with my son. And when I tried to throw the football, it fell right out of my hand onto the ground because I had no control whatsoever. I could barely walk at the time. But the fact is that people become so, when you see life and death all the time, it literally changes your perspective. And there was a guy on the plane when we were coming back, finally, when we were out of the war zone and everything, can't even go into all the detail of that. And this guy in business section gets irate because his coffee is cold to the flight attendant. And I'm, you know, as an ordained minister, you know, I'm taught to be calm, cool, collected, you know, Lieutenant Colonel, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like going, I think I want to kill him. and it just raged within me that I'm like, how dare you, when we're at war, to pick on somebody who's just doing the best they can to serve. And you act like this. And I was surprised at how even that when you start comparing what you're seeing in real day-to-day life to what you've seen in war, I think that's part of what changes you.
Yeah, it's a giant, I mean, I personally have not been deployed, but again, just in the MilSpouse sector, seeing the impact on the families and understanding like the perspective shift, like what really matters here? What are we really getting upset about? What's this bigger picture from a theological perspective, a mental health perspective, psychological, all of that kind of thing. So I appreciate your perspective on that.
And real quickly, the reason why we wrote the book was because it's difficult for some military members to talk about it. Mm. And the spouses and the families don't necessarily know what goes on.
Right.
So they're confused as to why, you know, and if the person can't talk about it, what are they left to do? You know, well, sometimes they think the worst, right? And that's not a good mm-hmm. thing. So we literally wrote the book chronologically about what happens in war and what a person and the family goes through, just so that we could speak to that. And so that was the impetus for that book, to be able to get into the hands of people who have a hard time talking about it, or for family members who really want to know what people go through.
Well, I wrote down on my notes here that I've got, I was like, books by Dr. Tharp. Like, I'm going to look that up here in a little bit. So I was like, and I need those on my shelf. Not that I don't already have enough books, but as far as I'm concerned, I can never have too many books. I collect them, especially about topics like this. Well, Dr. Tharp, with so many nonprofits out there that serve veterans, which is of course a good thing, I'm curious, what makes Project Healing Heroes different?
That's a great question. You know, I was thinking about how would I answer a question like that? The fact is, we have 3 MDs, 8 PhDs, most of all who've served in the military. Brigadier General Kendall, who's retired, was my commander in Afghanistan. He's our chairman of the board. We do research with Auburn University's director of neuroscience, and we're directly addressing the real evidence-based treatments. Because the fact mm-hmm. is that if you've followed anything along the lines of the JAMA article, Journal of American Medical Association, and Steenkamp, well, my wife followed up with her, and she did, and for her dissertation, looked at like 900 plus studies. And there were not, I won't even go into detail. I'll just say the evidence-based treatments that we talk about are not as strong as you think. As a matter of fact,
right.
There are things that we are going to show in our research what combat veterans say are their issues, not what accident victims or other trauma. And we are specifically doing the research with them. So not only do we have 4 books that we've created, we have maketheconnection.org. And the reason for that is it's so important. The number one mitigating issue with suicide is connections. People who are connected well with other people and feel supported, encouraged, and all of that kind of stuff do far, far better. And so I created maketheconnection.org. And we literally every Thursday night have spouses of military members themselves, and first responders all come together. And we have a meeting and we do some training for just 10 minutes and we do a question and answer time. And then we break off into small groups, just like what I used to run in churches and stuff, because I really believe that in those small groups is where the key thing is. Mm-hmm. And we build those. We do it. It's led by the peers. We do train the trainer. We train them up and then we let them go. And we just basically say, here you are. These are your people. And it's amazing to see what comes out of that. So if anybody is interested at all, I'm telling you, go to maketheconnection.org, sign up. It's free. You don't even have to say anything. You can just hang out with us. The whole point is to be able to make those connections and bring about encouragement. So those are just some of the things that we have going on. And I can tell you more if you're interested, but those are just a few of the things that we've got going on.
That's super cool. And I love your emphasis kind of on that social support, because I think that's something my husband and I talk about a lot, because from my perspective, you know, he's been deployed a lot, but I think he's plus or minus dealt with it well, and processed it. But you know, he doesn't talk about it much. And I don't, you know, and it's just, it's, you know, it doesn't seem like a bad thing necessarily, but he talks a lot about, you know, the connection of battle buddies and that warrior culture.
Yep.
And how when you come home, you know, he wants that beyond the military, but that's really hard to find in the civilian sector for him. And so thinking about that social support, other people, other male spouses, that sense of solidarity is huge when it comes to preventing, you know, suicide and mental health positive outcomes. Really appreciate what you're doing there. And so we've talked about in your bio mentioned talking about teaching resiliency and this makingtheconnection.org experience. So tell us a little bit more. Let us get in the details, especially for me and my super nerdy love of learning all these things. How does teaching resiliency empower trauma resolution?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So we can address things like suicide or people not doing well on the spectrum, right? It's important to have crisis intervention, but I'm a firm believer. Why wait? Why? Let's not wait till people get to that point where they're feeling like life is hopeless, that there's nothing that they can do. Let's go the opposite direction. Let's start addressing issues on the resiliency side and giving people literally, as in the scripture, it talks about a hope and a future. Because if you have a mission, a hope, and a future, I'm telling you, you're not going to be suicidal. It doesn't work like that. Matter of fact, the more people get involved in our organization, they have passion and intensity, and it's like that's the last thing on their mind. So I even wrote a book to start addressing this issue called On God and Trauma, Hope for Moral Injury and Survivor Guilt. And here's why. We talk so much in the DSM clinically about fear-based trauma. What about guilt-based trauma? What about that stuff? And not a lot of people are talking about it. Or what they do is they set it up, okay, we've got the chaplains over here and they've got complete and total confidentiality, which I had when I had that hat on. And then we've got the mental health side, right? Oh, but there's stigma and some challenges there.
But they don't intersect very well. Like they don't, they're kind of like pillared that, oh, sorry, I'm interrupting, but this is huge. Like, this is so important to me too. Sorry, keep going.
So, right for that. So the issue is, what if we had a foot in both fields of this? Like, I literally integrate the two. And so when I wrote On God and Trauma, I was directly addressing these issues that people have of moral injury and survivor guilt from, I know this word, eschatological perspective. That may be a big term for people. And I tried to use that in the title and everybody's like, nobody's going to know what that means. I'm like, I get it. But you look at it from the end state. If you look at it from the very end, which is what the military trains us to do, you start with the end state in mind and you work your way back. Not like you're a college student who's trying to figure out what degree do I get? And they jump around all over the place and they're like, well, let me try English. Let me try, you know, this and this and this. No, we go from the end state. But what if we looked at it from the perspective, literally, of how God sees things? And then with everything that happens, including things like, why did this happen? How could this have happened? What if I had done this? What if I had done that? Literally, it changes the perspective when you see it from the end and work your way backwards. And I could talk to you about a therapeutic technique if you ever, you know, at some point in time, if you wanted to bring me back on or whatever the case is. But there are certain things that you can do to alleviate and ameliorate those guilt issues and those moral issues. Let me give you a real quick illustration. A good friend of mine, Jeff Kyle, you may have heard his brother, Chris Kyle, right? In the movie, he's sitting there with, I think, a psychiatrist or psychologist. You can't really tell. But anyway, he's talking and the guy goes, do you ever feel guilty over killing so many people? His response, and again, you know, it's a movie, but I wasn't there. But it's brilliant because he says, no, I feel bad because the more people I kill of them, the more of our guys stay alive. And the fact is, there's a difference between egocentric and egodystonic. Egocentric means I'm okay with what I did. Egodystonic is the opposite. So what happens is that people who have a faith belief may come up against some real struggles. For example, thou shalt not kill. So how do they deal with that issue? You know, and so you have to figure out all of those things psychologically. And for people who struggle with that, we have answers to help them to deal with that.
Such a needed resource to really address that moral injury in our service members. And even, you know, the military spouses who are like, I don't know how I feel about this. And it's what he's called to do or she, or, you know, or whatever, but it's a very odd place to be. And it can be very complicated and to navigate that. But I'm so thankful that you all at Project Healing Heroes are creating those resources. And thinking about those resources that you're providing, tell us a little more specifically what Project Healing Heroes really does tangibly for service members, veterans, and their families in this realm of psychological, theological, moral injury, health.
You know, I came up with this concept. It's called We Provide, You Decide. We provide all of these resources, and we have video series, by the way, free. We put everything out there. So our video series, you go on to projecthealingheroes.org. You can sign up for a free video series that follows the workbook. So you don't even have to buy it. We used to give them away for free, but we ran out of money,
which is a problem. There's that, yeah.
There's that, you know. And so it's like, uh-oh, how are we going to fix this? So we put the books on Amazon. And by the way, it's so amazing and miraculous to see what God does sometimes. There is a former Navy SEAL who is in prison, for life in prison. And his sister bought our book. And he said, it wasn't until I read your book that the lights started coming on and I realized all the things that have happened to me and what I've done and to hurt other people. And I want to change my life. So we started a Bible study and he asked, is there any chance that we could at least photocopy your book? Because we can't buy them. Or can you send me some? And I said, no, I'm going to do one better. I want you to write the study guide to it. Get your guys together and make the study guide, and I will publish it with your names on it. And so it's things like that. Like, we are real people dealing with real issues, and we, you know, you're this, you're that. No. We are just down home country folk who are doing the best we can to serve those who have paid so much for this country. And I don't shy away from any topic. I'm not going to. If it's research that hasn't been done well, I'm going to attack it. I'm going to go because when you see the things that we see, you're not willing to be complacent. You're not willing to do it. And so if you take a look at the National Center for PTSD, do you know how many veterans are on that panel for the National Center for PTSD?
Probably not a lot.
None. Not one.
Gosh.
How can this be? You know, my patience is running out. my wife is like, David, you need to calm down. And I'm like, look, you know, I don't have, who knows how much time I've got that God gives me. I don't know, but I'm going to take every moment that I have and I'm going to make the best of it. And so I met a woman just this week when we were flying I was flying from the Air Force Academy back to Waco, Texas, where we live, and then back here. And her poor sister has been through hell and back, TBI, PTSD, you name it. And I'm like literally going off the list of all the things that we can do to help her and get her those resources. And literally, I don't know how else to say it, except I intentionally wrote the books and everything because I can only work with so many people at once, you know, individually, one-on-one, or maybe a group. But this way, through Project Healing Heroes, we can reach the masses. And God knows there's so many people that need it. And so that's why I wrote the books. That's why we have Make the Connection. And then we've got another one coming up, too, at some point, if you want to talk about what we're doing next. But I'll leave that up to you.
Yeah, I think that's coming up after the commercial break. So we're going to get to that. I'm excited. And speaking of commercial break, one more question before we jump out that way. How has Project Healing Heroes adapted in this COVID-19 world of 2020?
I love it. So we created this program and I spent a year writing it. Okay. And we'll talk about Up Armor, which is the next one we'll talk about. And what happened is that COVID-19 hit. And the whole point was to do food, faith, fellowship, fun, all of the things that I could come up with, have the letter F, where people are literally gathering together, whether at churches, synagogues, homes, whatever, and they're working through the resource books that were created for Up Armor. And I was so excited. Then COVID-19 hit.
Yep. And then COVID. That's like the operative like pivot point of the year. We're like before COVID or and then COVID.
Yeah.
It's just completely different. Yes.
Yeah, in some ways, I just want to delete 2020 and just.
Yeah.
but here's the, there are benefits, right? Mm-hmm. So the resiliency. So what did my board of directors do? They came to me and we go, hey, we know you spent a year working on this for everything to happen in face to face. We need you to do that virtual. I'm like, what? And they're like, how about 3 weeks? Can you get it done in 3 weeks? I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem. Because I got nothing else going on.
I won't sleep. It's fine.
So literally we took that program and created Make the Connection from it. which is the whole idea of the virtual webinar, so that people can gather together, get their needs met, and literally make a difference in one-on-one relationships, which is where I think we need to be. Because when I'm having a hard time, when I'm down, when I'm feeling frustrated, and I get a phone call from one of my buddies or my friends, it's like, hey, David, just checking in on you. How are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm having a crappy day, but thanks for asking because now I feel better.
Right.
You know? And so that's how in this COVID world, we literally put all of those resources online. And so we literally meet every week and have our webinar series and our small groups. And we literally teleport people. It's kind of fun. I've taken that from my kids. And we have a meet and greet session and all kinds of stuff. It's actually really fun.
I love how the Lord really does Romans 8:28 things sometimes. He uses it for the good of all people who love him, called according to his purpose. When we're like, COVID-19 was not part of our no plan plan. This was not on the agenda. But then even in the difficulty, good things are coming from it. Fruit is happening. And you're seeing that with Project Healing Heroes, with AWN, and across the board.
You got it. You got it.
Oh, well, I am just loving our conversation, Dr. Tharp, but I have a gut feeling that this conversation will not stop at the end of this interview. I'm very excited in a very personal kind of way, but we are going to cut to a quick commercial break, and I look forward to talking about kind of what's next in the future for Project Healing Heroes after the break. Listeners, as a reminder, if you would like to connect with Project Healing Heroes, you can find them online, Facebook and Instagram at Project Healing Heroes, just spelled just as it sounds, Twitter at PHH_resilience. And as Dr. Tharp mentioned, you can also find his books on Amazon. I literally just went and searched David F. Tharp and they all come up if you want to get a copy of his book, or check out maketheconnections.org. They meet virtually every Thursday night at 6:00 Mountain Time. Now it's time for that quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower. Advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotion, giveaways, and podcast audio commercials. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Listeners, we are back having a very exciting, empowering conversation with Dr. David Tharp, who is the founder of Project Healing Heroes, also combat veteran and clinical psychologist. Dr. Tharp, I'm curious, you mentioned it right before the break about some of the other projects that Project Healing Heroes is working on. So what's the next project on the docket for your organization?
Roger that. Okay, so this is a leap of faith on this one. And I literally, a good friend of mine, Scott Medor, challenged me. He said, David, listen, a year ago, he said, you have all of the training that God has given you. Why are you not out there talking about trauma from a faith-based perspective? And he's like, you literally need to get out there and do it. And he goes, and so it was a challenge, and I literally was like, oh my gosh, you know, how he didn't say it quite like that. He had some other language. I'll put it that way. And I felt really convicted. I'm like, golly, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. Right. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, you know? And so I'm having these verses, you know, jumping through my head. Okay. So I literally stopped everything and I started writing, and I thought, how do you deal with trauma when from a different perspective? Like, how could we do this? And so I started writing based on the fruits of the Spirit. And here was the issue that I felt like God kind of led me to write it from. What would happen if we don't talk about just trauma? Because I'm not into that. I want to talk about character change. For example, what happens if you had a full cup, 100% of patience in your life? How would that change things? So what did I do? I started going through the fruits of the Spirit. So I made the horrendous mistake of calling back to talk to my wife and my kids. And I asked, am I a patient man? And
my
son is like, are you crazy? You're like the worst.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, thanks. And I'm like, seriously? He goes, oh, you're terrible. He's like, you are like the most impatient person I've ever met.
Oh.
And I'm like, man, shot to the heart. And I'm like, hey, Catherine, my wife, I'm like, am I patient? And she's like, is this a joke? And
yikes.
I'm like, okay. So we hang up and I'm like, okay, Lord, so what's going on? And literally I felt him saying, which I don't hear him audibly. It's just a feeling. It's
right. Like, right.
David, you're not going to write a resource book for people to deal with trauma unless you deal with every one of these single issues yourself. And so I'm literally in tears. Mm-hmm. Like I have been so impacted by this, you know, and that's just one and there's nine.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
I'm like going, okay, next one up. So I call back and they're like, oh, are you kidding me? You know, and I'm just like, oh dear God, this is terrible. And I was like, okay. So then I finally write all of this after incredible pain and turmoil, to be honest with you, after it was a gut check on all of these different issues from the fruits of the Spirit. And the last one, of course, I changed the order because I wanted to specifically as love as being the last one. And I had a friend of mine read the book and she said, David, I want to tell you something after I read your book. And I said, she goes, it's nothing like I thought. She goes, who in the world writes a trauma book and doesn't even talk about trauma? She goes, I can't figure out if you're incredibly brilliant or incredibly stupid.
Thank you, I think.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm hoping not the latter, but we'll see. And she goes, literally, I'm like, where are you going with this? And then I got to the last one. What would happen if I had 100% a cupful of unconditional love? How would that change my life? And she said, I want you to know, I hate you. And I'm like, what? And she goes, you have no idea what that did to me. She goes, I can't answer that because I don't know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, my gosh. And she's like, I've never in my life felt loved. And here you are challenging me to 100% unconditional. She goes, I don't even know what to do with that. She goes, I am so heartbroken over this. And so what I decided to do was give it to some people that I trust. And they read the book and they were just blown away by what you were doing. So we'll see what happens. But the whole point is to write, I've got 50 different topics that I'm writing. I start with the fruits of the Spirit. And so I've written the first book, the first trilogy of the books, and we're starting in January. And the idea is to have not an 8-week trauma treatment program, not a 12-week, but we're literally going to go through the whole books, all three books in 1 year and help get people what they need on a consistent weekly basis, just like we're doing with MakeTheConnection.org.
Mm. Do you have a title for this series that you can share? Is that still classified?
Yeah, it's just, I love that. I will have to kill every one of you.
All right, everybody, earmuffs, plug your ears, but I just need to know.
You know, I was literally praying about it and I'm like, what would be a good title? And we came up with Up Armor.
Up Armor.
The whole idea in the military, when, remember the Humvees that kept getting hit and we had no protection? We need to have protection from even things like fiery darts. And if your audience doesn't know what that is, let me just say that there are things that come at us from at least three different directions. One, it can be internal to us. It can be something that we tell ourselves that's a negative thing that just puts us in a downward spiral. It can also come from outside of us in regards to what things that people have said to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some very negative, nasty things that sometimes our parents or our loved ones or some people will say. And the third one is there are things that come at us, we have no idea where they come from. It's just like the thought process that, you know, this statement. For example, if somebody is suicidal, you know, you can have these thoughts that come at you that go, look, you're such a failure. You can't even kill yourself. Look at you. You know,
right.
You can't even do that right. So God calls those fiery darts. And what does he do? He tells us to take them and plunge them as deep into water as we can and smolder them out. Because the reason is the longer we listen to those things, the worse it gets for us. And so literally I take the psychological and the spiritual and I've integrated them and we are dealing with all of this moral injury, all of these different issues from a biblical perspective. Now I know it's not for everybody. That's
right.
Why we created Make the Connection, because that's completely supportive of everybody, no matter what. There's, you know, whatever you bring to the table, we're there for you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. But Up Armor is different. Up Armor is if you want this from a faith-based perspective. And then what happened was, is people kept saying, we need this resource, David, we need this. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And so I created a trilogy, and we're going to cover all 50 weeks. And the program is called Up Armor. And you'll be able to find more of that information on our website as soon as, well, it's, that webpage isn't built yet, but we're working on it. But you can still get in contact with us. And so the idea is to literally take a whole year and work through all of these things from that perspective, because I truly believe that if you do that, there's going to be some serious healing going on. And we also integrate it with our small groups and support systems and all that kind of stuff as well.
That's great. So Up Armor isn't necessarily just for veterans, but really kind of anybody that's had any kind of hurt and healing, any kind of trauma, which is pretty much everybody in the world. Like at some level, we all need healing.
We do. And, you know, I have been blown away by the number of people that become, that go into the military, right? That go become firefighters, even doctors, nurses, you name it. And they have so much background and history and trauma. And it's time to heal. That's why Project Healing Heroes is about healing those people from the inside out. And let's do this. And we don't have to dive into the, please tell me your worst trauma for 15 times and we'll get better. No, I'm not playing those games. Like, okay, so it might be helpful for some, and I'm not going to dismiss it. I'm just saying we're doing it from a different perspective.
Right.
And we're going to integrate psychology and theology, and we're going to make an impact. And I'm excited about what I think God can do in that.
That is super exciting. I know my husband and I have conversations about this, you know, because he's been in 17 years and he's worked with so many soldiers over the years and, you know, seen a lot of psychological distress. And he made a really good point, kind of what you just mentioned, Dr. Tharp, that a lot of the junk that like surfaces within the military experience, a lot of it probably was pre-existing. You know, like stuff from your childhood, stuff from growing up, like, you know, just unhealthy thoughts, habits, experiences that the military kind of like uses all the other resources that you've got to cope with that. And then it's like out there and exacerbated by the pressure, the stress of deployment, TDYs, frequent PCSs, et cetera, et cetera, that kind of thing.
You're nailing it. And I think that's exactly why we have to have that discussion and those resources for people that want to go deeper. And that's what that's about.
I'm excited to look into that and see where that goes. Just, I commend you for your courage and taking that leap of faith, because it's what I call thrillifying. It's thrilling and terrifying at the same time. And I always joke that if you feel called to do something and it doesn't make you want to throw up a little bit, it's probably not from the Lord. So sounds like it's totally from the God, totally from God on that part.
Yeah, I got hit in the gut with that come to Jesus meeting. And very clear. So yes,
ma'am. It'll wreck you and then heal you all up again. So I feel you. Thinking about future plans, what does your 5-10-year plan look like moving forward?
Yeah, this is going to be crazy.
Oh, sweet. I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. Let's go. Right.
So I have this concept in my head. Look, 75-80% of nonprofits fail in the first 4 years. Mm. They don't make it. They typically have a great CEO who's got passion, intensity, and everything. By the time they jump through the trademark issues, by the time they get their board of directors, by the time they do all the things that has to happen, and then they can't get funded because they're so small. They can't hire a grant writer. They don't have the money to do the audits every year, which is basically $5,000, all of this stuff. And so you've got great people who have passion, intensity, and everything, and they just kind of wither away because they're so overwhelmed. And a lot of the major grant funding places won't even let you apply. It's by invitation only. And so I have a passion for this. One of the things that you learn in the military, and maybe this is innate, I don't know, but you do not tolerate things that hurt people that are sometimes weaker, or they're powerless, or don't have the resources, right? And that's the big trigger for me. Like, I will stand up against anything to my own detriment as well, for that purpose. And that can be problematic. But at the same time, it's something inside of me that just drives me. So here's my 5 and 10 year plan. I really believe that if what would happen, just for example, I went to Indiana State University. Do you ever think they're going to beat Alabama in football? It's never going to happen. Right? It's never going to happen. Why? Because they get all the 5-star athletes. Everybody knows, you know, you're either going to go to Ohio State, Clemson, or Alabama, right? And those are your major, you know, LSU, whatever. There's only a handful of those college football programs are ever going to win the national championship because they always get the best players, right? Well, what happens if we take all of the smaller organizations and we put them under one umbrella? What if we were to take all of them that aren't going to survive and we provide the resources to help them? And we say, you know what, we're going to compete against these bigger organizations now because we've got 50 smaller nonprofits. And so my idea is literally, Lord willing, and we're looking for a lawyer. So if there's any lawyers out there, it would be great. But we literally want to create an umbrella of Project Healing Heroes and have all of these smaller organizations. And then you have their logos on your website. Look what happens. You have, entry control points in your military, right? And so ECPs. And what happens is, what if you have a spouse or a military member that has no desire to do therapy? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to talk to somebody. Okay, great. But what are you into? I like scuba diving. Oh, cool. We have a place in Roatan. And let's take you scuba diving. And all of a sudden they're like, wow, this was so much fun. What are you doing this with? We're doing this with Dive Heroes and Project Healing Heroes. Well, what is that? They go to our website.
Opening a door, yes.
Opening the door. That's that entry control point. And then they're like, oh my gosh, I love equine therapy. I love horses. Really? We got you covered. What about treat? What about if you want to go to a retreat? Got you covered. We've got all of these different places that I want to integrate all of them so that there's resources galore and they can go across the board to go to any of these things. But we'll be the overarching umbrella so that when we apply for these resources, we can then be competitive. Because otherwise, as smaller organizations, they're going to dissipate. They're just not going to make it. So our intent is to take any organization on that has passion and intensity and cares about our military members, first responders, and their spouses. And if you have that passion and you want to come under the umbrella of the resources that we have to make it happen, then as my dad would say, by God, let's do it. We'll see what happens. And so this may or may not work, but it's something that's in my head. I've talked to my board of directors and we're meeting about it. And I really do believe if we take all, it's the swarm mentality, right? And so the idea is take all of these smaller organizations, literally make that one resource and let's get out there and let's actually change the narrative. I literally want to talk more about Healing Heroes than I do anything else because we need that desperately. And so we've done it a different way for 20 years. I'm ready to change the narrative.
I can't wait to read that new story that you guys are already writing figuratively and literally in the next 5 to 10 years. And I'm grateful for this connection. And I'm really hopeful that all of our listeners, any of this resonates with any of you, please, please get connected with Project Healing Heroes. On that note, Dr. Tharp, remind our listeners how they can get connected, how they can get involved, support you all with the work that you're doing.
You bet. Send your check or money order to... No,
We accept PayPal right now.
That's right. It literally is www.projecthealingheroes.org. And you will find a ton of resources, literally. My intent is to create as many resources as we can for as many people as we can and to be as strong as we can because we need each other. And there's no other way I think we can do it but to be supportive and encourage. I'm not into competition. I don't want to compete against other people. I want to do the opposite. I want to make sure that we stay focused on our most important mission, and that's the members. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. Website, projecthealingheroes.org, Facebook and Instagram, @projecthealingheroes, Twitter, @PHH_resilience, and then again, makingtheconnection.org. Check them out on Amazon. They're all over the place in a really, really wonderful kind of way. I know that when this conversation concludes, I've already got the Amazon page loaded and I'm going to add all those books to my wish list for all the next gift cards that I get for whatever. That's what I'm getting. So, Dr. Tharp, this is just so encouraging. And I've just loved our conversation and love what you're doing, your passion to integrate all of these pieces that are so important to healing our veterans, military families around the globe, and our first responders, anybody who's experienced trauma. As you've picked up, our primary mission here at Army Wife Network is empowerment, and seems to be a theme for Project Healing Heroes too. So one of my favorite parts of the show is to hear from our guests what they think empowerment is. How would you complete the sentence? Empowerment is...
Yeah, man. So I really thought about I really thought about this question. And to me, you know, I want to sound like I know what I'm talking about when in reality, it's a totally different ballgame. So here's my, wow, I think he seems like he's intelligent statement. To me, empowerment is the process of strategically and boldly releasing one's internal fortitude, knowledge, and will in the face of unrelenting forces.
Okay, say that again. I'm writing it down. Please, and thank you.
Sure. To me, empowerment is the process of strategically and boldly releasing one's internal fortitude, knowledge, and will in the face of unrelenting forces.
Oh, so, that's good. You really accomplished your mission there, because I don't think that just sounds smart. I think that is very brilliant, very smart, very well thought out. And it really encapsulates empowerment, particularly from a mental health healing theological perspective. Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Tharp. So thankful for kind of that random email that just came into our queue a few weeks ago that started this connection. I'm very grateful for what you're doing. I commend you. I wish you well as you continue to empower veterans, first responders, and their families with their mental health healing and all the resources you provide. Thank you for doing that for this particular demographic.
You bet. And if I could, in closing, just say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me about empowerment. Now I'm going to give you my definition that's not the brilliant one. Empowerment to me is my wife.
Oh.
And the reason is because for somebody at age 40 to go back to medical school, with small kids, with a husband who deploys to Afghanistan and never stopped working hard, and she says she's not the smartest person in the world. I disagree. But the fact is, we talk about things being personal. Oh, don't take it personal. Well, you know what? We did. We took on this challenge personally. And when you talk about a spouse who goes out of their way to serve people, I'm telling you, that's the definition for me, is my wife, who has done incredible things. And literally, if you were to ever sit across from her as a patient or a client, you would think they're your best friend. So empowerment to me is the spouses of the military members who do this every single day at whatever level that they can, while they've got children, while they've got family dynamics, they've got a husband who may not be doing well, or vice versa. And I just want you to know, that's the kind of empowerment that I see that's going to change America.
Oh man, I'm going to go cry now. But oh, that was such a beautiful way to wrap up our show. And Catherine, Dr. Tharp's wife, Catherine, when you listen to this, I am so grateful for what you're doing to support your husband and serve our country. You guys are quite the powerhouse couple, and I haven't even met you in real life, but I look forward to maybe doing that someday. I'm really, really excited about that. So Dr. Tharp, thanks again for being on our show, and we wish you all the best with Project Healing Heroes.
Thank you all. You guys are awesome.
Thanks to Dr. David Tharp for sharing empowering information with us this week about Project Healing Heroes. Again, if you would like to connect with them, you can check them out online via their website at www.projecthealingheroes.com. On Facebook and Instagram at Project Healing Heroes, it's spelled just like it sounds, and on Twitter at PHH_resilience. I really loved listening to this interview. Just Sharita and Dr. Tharp had such a wonderful back and forth with each other, and so much great information to share dealing with post-traumatic stress and trauma and the overall military experience. Jennifer, what was one of your big takeaways from the interview?
I thoroughly enjoyed Dr. Tharp's interview. I was fully engaged from start to finish. My biggest takeaway is that all of our heroes can benefit from some type of healing. My father was a Navy veteran who served for several years when I was a small child. Although he didn't talk to me much about his experiences, it was clear that he carried that burden of what he saw and what he did for the rest of his life. Dr. Tharp hit the nail on the head, and I'm summarizing here, but he mentioned that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And although that may be the luxury of your wild vacation, it's absolutely not the case for our heroes. They will inevitably not leave anything there. Our heroes will bring home every memory, every emotion, and all too often, I think we forget that or even don't even think about it. So bringing that to light is so powerful and really resonated with me after seeing my father struggle for so many years.
That's a great point. And he also points out in the interview about how He feels that we all need some sort of healing. A lot of us carry a lot of things around in the day-to-day, not necessarily trauma, but just damage, some damage that just doesn't leave us. And I appreciate that work and that call to say that it's okay to seek help. It's okay to get whatever counseling and assistance that you might need. I also like how he said that Project Healing Heroes is the alternative to Wounded Warriors. You know, Wounded Warriors, sometimes that name just kind of carries a negative connotation because we're talking about how these people are wounded. But instead, we are talking about healing heroes, healing people that are making choices to go do something outside of themselves. Because this isn't just for military families. This is also for first responders.
Yes, I think that really is a good point, that it isn't just for military. Although military is a very large group of people, there are so many people right here in our own towns that need that same assistance. And there aren't that many programs that I'm aware of that really do reach out and help those folks who need that kind of healing and support. Project Healing Heroes really encompasses such a large group of people in their mission. This is something that absolutely sets them apart as they continue to strengthen resilience among all of our heroes, as well as their families.
I really appreciated Dr. Tharp's discussion about the other things that he wants to do with Project Healing Heroes, with working with all of these other organizations, because he said that this sort of therapy doesn't need to happen by sitting in a room and talking about all the bad things that happened to you in excruciating detail. It can come from going on a fishing trip with other people, or going scuba diving, or riding horses and spending time in a barn. And I think when people hear that and they get that connection to what therapy can be, not necessarily what they think it is, it changes the conversation a little bit and it makes it easier to go through with it. One of my biggest takeaways from the interview was how he talks about working with all of these other organizations to help supplement Project Healing Heroes, so it isn't just telling service members that they have to go sit in a room and talk to somebody and tell their story again in excruciating detail and have it be really burdensome to them. Instead, they can go out for this therapy and it not feel like therapy. If you like fishing, you can go on a fishing trip. If you like scuba diving, you can go scuba diving. If you love horses, you can go spend time with them in a barn and go riding and find your therapy in these other ways. And I think when you remove this idea that it has to be a painful conversation, it makes people more apt to seek that help and to go for it, because they're not going to feel horrible afterward. They're not going to feel like they just had to relive a whole bunch of things. Instead, they're going to feel lighter and feel that healing start taking place.
Sarah, you're absolutely right. It really is a great benefit of the program. I know if I was thinking about going to therapy, you know, I envision sitting on a couch and talking out through my problems, and I don't think that that setting is for everybody. So you are definitely right that being able to do things that come natural to folks and use that experience to be a little bit more casual in how you go about your own healing is definitely something that I think Project Healing Heroes is amazing for offering out. Well, I think overall, what a great interview that was. I know it had Sherita in tears at the end, and I certainly felt that same emotional experience as I listened to Dr. Tharp explain and really tell his story. Now it's time to check in with this week's Resource Recon, which is all about our latest social media scoop. Recently on Facebook and Instagram, we asked our followers, what did you want to be when you grew up? We received so many great answers. Some were fun, like a follower that wanted to be a ballerina, but now she says she can't dance. Others wanted to be teachers and are not missing the irony of how they're now homeschooling their children. And some did end up following their dreams only to realize they wanted to do something else. So Sarah, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I actually responded to this on our Facebook page because I always joke with people that I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Like, I'm still always thinking, what's the next thing? And as a kid, I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to be a vet. I wanted to be a physical therapist. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be an artist, a teacher. Like, it was so many different things. And I did end up becoming a journalist and eventually just a writer. but I don't feel like that's necessarily where I'll stay. And so I still am not sure what I want to be when I grow up. What about you, Jennifer?
Similarly to you, I've wanted to be so many things, from a vet to a teacher to a deep sea diver. Some are a bit more realistic than others. But at this very moment, I honestly still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. What I do know is that I enjoy giving back to the community and helping others in any way I can. So I'm optimistic that sometime in my hopefully near future, I will find something that really fulfills this desire that I have to ultimately make the world a better place, you know, one kind gesture at a time.
That's so great. And your volunteering really gives you so many opportunities to do so many different things.
Oh, absolutely. Even if the volunteering itself is minimal, the networking and just the people that we interact with and we help, we may not even realize we're helping. So it really is fulfilling for us, and it's something that we'll do over the rest of our life.
Well, Jennifer, I might be a little biased, but I have to say that I think our social media is super fun and engaging and empowering. We like to toss a little humor our listeners' way to bring them a little bit of a smile during the harder parts of this military life. Listeners, you can connect with us on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram at Army Wife Network to stay up to date and entertained with our graphics, conversation starters, and giveaways. And speaking of giveaways, throughout October, we are doing some exciting giveaways on Instagram. And by giveaways, we mean gift cards, some up to $100. So be sure to follow at Army Wife Network on Instagram for your chance to win big this month.
Our final empowering resource for today comes from our Army Wife Network Empowerment Agent, Amanda Bicknies, with our Empowerment Patrol Platoon Member of the Month, also known as our top fan of Army Wife Network. Let's listen in.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bicknies, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today, we are showcasing Army Wife Network's Platoon Member of the Month recipient, Lisa Gaino Cuevas. Lisa was nominated because she is an active participant on Army Wife Network's social media and demonstrates empowerment to many other military spouses. Lisa shares that she is married to a retired active duty military service member, and she powerfully states that while we may not wear the uniform on the outside, instead we wear our flag on the inside. Lisa also says that she continues to keep in contact with other military spouses, such as those who were her mentors as she took her first steps on base, those with whom she shared parts of the journey on various installations, and those who are actively living in the journey today. Although they are no longer active duty, Lisa says, once a military spouse, always a military spouse, which we all know is so true. Lisa, your warm and positive personality truly shines bright to others. And here at Army Wife Network, we are so appreciative of your wonderful outlook and engagement on our page. Thank you so much to Lisa Gaino Cuevas for showing your amazing support for Army Wife Network. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies, reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
Congratulations, Lisa Gaino Cuevas. Amanda will be in touch with you soon to hook you up with some fabulous Army Wife Network swag. Also, you will now have a permanent place on our website and our empowerment gallery. Thanks for your engagement with our network.
Well, Jennifer, it's that time again. Time to pack up our supplies, head in from the field, hit the showers, and maybe even take a nap. In the meantime, you can join us every Thursday at noon Eastern for our weekly Facebook Live MilSpouse Empowerment Moments. If you miss it, don't worry. We turn those into podcasts too, and we share them on YouTube. You can also subscribe to our podcasts on the podcast app of your choice. And I've heard we're now on Spotify, so there's just another option. Tune in for our next full-length episode of Army Wife Talk Radio when our Army Wife Network owner and commander, Sherita Knobloch, interviews Dr. Tommy Black to talk about our military kids, the Esteem app, and mental health. It's going to be another empowering show.
Empowerment is the focus of what we do here at Army Wife Network. If you or someone you know has a product or service to share with our listeners and would like to join us on our mission to empower military families, we would love to begin a conversation about partnering up. please email Empower, that's spelled E-M-P-O-W-E-R, at armywifenetwork.com.
Listeners, we are here to walk through this military life journey with you, no matter what you're facing. So remember that your fire team here at Army Wife Network is ready to cover down for you. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to www.armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our empowering resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.